Blog Talk Radio.
Tamarans, Alafia, greetings, and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Onyeka 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. This is another segment of To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. What does that mean exactly? Are we talking about the youth having the advantage? Yes, we certainly are. So you youth, you wake up and come on into this room and join us. We've been talking about playwrights, and we've been talking about the Writers' Workshop. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be featuring another unique segment from the Lily Pad. That's right. I will be featuring a segment from my short stories, and this particular short story is on the topic of reordering the marriage vows for the African-American for the 21st century. And we're going to be doing a segment from that particular collection on relationships. And to be young, gifted, and black is a unique thing. It means you have the advantage because you're young, and youth will always have the advantage over their elders. So you have an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, those young people who are out there listening, to start writing now, creating your journals, and talking about recreating a future for yourself. That's right. When Nina Simone wrote the song To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, that's when there was so much excitement on the media, about the movement of the African American people. They were very, very conscientious, and they were fighting back because James Brown was on the scene at that time and Aretha Franklin singing about respect and James Brown singing that I'm black and I'm proud. And during that time, there was a lot of unity. And because youth was considered to have respect, they were able to unite with other organized groups and state their case. They were able to lobby. They were able to create the unions. And they would stand up on the podium and they would talk loud. But they were saying something, and people were listening. They wanted their freedom. They wanted their independence. And it was time that somebody stood up and said what was the truth, because they wanted the unions to come in and they wanted protection. A lot was going on during the era of the time the song came out, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. A lot was going on against the African-American and the Caucasian. They were trying to collaborate, to integrate. Now, excuse me, you and I both know in order to integrate properly, you must both bring something to the table. And most people thought that the African-Americans didn't have very much to bring to the table. So instead of integrating, they basically ended up losing their rights, losing what little bit they did have. Now, I want to make it real plain and clear to you. We write sometimes to take a stand on issues. Now, the issue that I'm taking a stand on this evening is the issue that African Americans must reconsider writing their own marriage vows for this new millennium. We can no longer go on letting someone write the Constitution for us. We have to write laws and regulations that are good and conducive for our personal needs. And I've taken the advantage and the opportunity to go ahead and create an outline instruction of what African Americans need to do in their new relationship. Am I a relationship specialist? Well, I surely am. I spent many years studying about relationship and marriage and family development. And one of the things I do know is that African Americans have never had their say-so in the court of law about their marriage vows. Now, in this segment, you'll find that we're talking about courtships. You'll find that we're talking about relationships, and they are very, very important for African Americans. At one point, we had the lowest percentage of divorces in the world. And now we are beating out most of the races in divorces because we've become so Europeanized, so Westernized, and wanting to jump the broom. And did you not know that jumping the broom was a Westernized concept? It doesn't come from the African concept. And we'll be talking about all those things and how we are to conduct ourselves in reordering the marriage vows for the 21st century for the African American. Ladies and gentlemen, you definitely want to lock that dial in, and you want to come on into this room and be a part of this discussion. And let me give out those call numbers, 646-478-0270. I'm giving these numbers out to those people who have input that they can bring to the table. We're looking at reordering the marriage vow. And as you know, I did a whole segment on monogamous relationships and polygamy. I talked about a new program that I was implementing in my book. Let me reiterate for some of you who might not have been able to join us during that 5-day segment when I was looking for my Boaz and I was attempting to interview as many men as I could to find my Boaz. And at that time, we had a tie of 2 kings for a day, and we brought both of them in. However, they were fictitious people, as you know. I am still not hitched yet. But I do think I found my Boaz. And as I was attempting to give you prerequisites for the courtship and for the contractual agreement. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're introducing the contractual agreements because they are very necessary and they are highly respected and used in the cultures of some African people, such as Yoruba, the Icon, and the various different denominations of Islam. They are using the polygamous procedure. Now, we've got to put a cap on it, and we've got to package it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we package a brand new concept for the African-American, reordering the marriage vows for the African-American for the 21st century? How do we package it and take our old concept, put a beautiful package on it, and kiss it and call it brand new? You know the term we say nowadays. Girl, he's brand new. He's new into this. He's not old money. He's brand new. Well, this is going to be brand new, ladies and gentlemen, as I get down with the slogan, brand new. This is going to be brand new for some. However, it's our old ancestral product that has been around for a while. Polygamous relationships, ladies and gentlemen, was created by the black woman. She called it into being. Now, you must understand that our customs, our family life was at stake. And in order to make a woman valuable and to have her honored, there was polygamous situations called upon by African women because women wanted their heads covered. Now, we're going to be doing workshops entitled 7-1. Now, just think, what am I talking about, 7-1? There are going to be 7 men to every 1 woman. So, therefore, the women will say, just let me have you cover my head. I want to bear your name. So, in other words, there are going to be some polygamous relationships going on, whether we like it or not. So we might as well package this brand new concept, quote, and give it back to our people and say, here's something brand new. Can you handle it? Now, we're talking about going all the way from looking at the common law situation for that first 5 years while you're earning your income, stockpiling your filthy lucre, creating your nest egg so that your wife can go home and appropriate and create and produce children while you have your nest egg saved up, and you can look at the following 6 year of going right into not only solidifying a contract but purchasing a marriage agreement at that point. That's right. Common law is nothing but a contractual law. And in some relationships where they are honoring the polygamous relationship, the second wife cannot obtain a marriage license. She can only obtain a contractual agreement. We'll be talking about all those things, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you stay tuned as we go to station identification. But don't go to sleep because we'll be right back at you. So keep those legs moving and keep those feet going. We're going to give you something soft to think to. back in the atmosphere. Thanks for joining us on this first part of the segment in the Care to Read room. You have your own Mimica 7. I am your advocate, the one you need, and your advisor, the one you want. And I am your Maliwa. I am your mother, too. Thank you for joining us this evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're in the Care to Read room, which has been underwritten by Project 2019, a non-for-profit organization which works with closing the gap of disparity of African Americans obtaining higher education. Our whole mission is to get you actively involved in higher level education. And one of our goals in this room is to create readers. And if you're not out there tutoring those young people, start tutoring. Become an avid reader. And if you realize it or not, that the more students that are reading by fourth grade, the more likely they are to graduate. We want to create graduates. The president is campaigning for our young people to graduate. I'm campaigning and pushing for our young people to become literate. And that is not only just in reading, but literate in the arts of theater, drama, narrative, to become literate in understanding that we are capable of creating our own literature and short stories, and we must start doing that by starting to be writers. I don't care if you're not good at spelling. I don't care if you don't know how to play. You can learn all those things. You just have to have a conversation and something to say. And right about now, we're going to go over to the Talking Cure room. We have a lot to say. We want to praise our higher self and commune with our ancestors and lift them. And maybe they'll take our prayers to the second heaven and make a request for us. Because our ancestors have our best interests, we commune with them on a day-to-day basis so we can collaborate and tap into their energies and reconnect them back to the family. Why don't you join me as I go over to the Talking Care room? Why don't you stand erect with your feet together and don't prostrate yourself. Stand up straight because we want to elevate ourselves to reach the second heaven. Now, with your hands extended out, we're asking God to give us desires of our heart. We come before the higher self, which is the Godhead who lives on the inside of us, our Ori, who can never leave us. He will always stay with us. Now, remember, you serve your own individual God, and I serve my own. Your God can't be giving you anything to tell me because I collaborate with my God on a day-to-day basis. That's what African Americans have to learn. God assigned each one of you a measure of essence, and that is the Godhead that lives inside of you. That Godhead can never leave you. That's why he can go with you day and night. Now, there is a God that entertains the outer courts and the inner courts of heaven. He created the earth. He has no concerns with men. He has assigned us our own personal God. He has no interaction with you. So don't go skipping into glory think you're going to get to the God that is the ruler of the outer and inner courts of heaven. He has no affair with you. He has assigned you Oladunamere, Ilede, and Olorum to work with you. Now remember, Olorum is pure energy. He's ratified. He will fracture you and convulse you to a fragment of fire. You can't even go before him. He is pure, ratified energy. But Ori is clothed with matter. He is approachable. You can approach that particular God. There's three manifestations of God. By now, you should be able to read this back to me. Now, what am I saying? Omi, are you saying there are three gods? No. I'm saying Akamare is so great, so vast, that he must have three manifestations to depict and clarify and give you an example of who he is. Therefore, he gives you the ratified energy, he gives you the potent energy, and he also gives you Ori and Olorum. And don't forget about Oromola. He is the new Jesus that you have been calling Jesus, but he has a name, Oromola. He's set at the right hand of the Father. He knows all the inception of man. He knows our comings and our goings, so we consult Ifa, Oromola, for all of our answers, even the inception of disease, cure for disease. He has all knowledge unto himself. He also sculpted you and made you from clay. He is the sculptor. Ladies and gentlemen, are you getting the picture now? You must understand, someone stole our story. And what we have been given was a borrowed story, that Jesus and the Immaculate Conception and Mary were borrowed stories from the Egyptologies and taken from the wall there right in Egypt. If you don't believe me, take a trip there. You'll see for yourself that you've been given a borrowed story. The Jesus story is a borrowed story. Not that we don't love Jesus. We must have our proper name and must put Jesus in his proper perspective. Are you getting the picture now? Are you traveling with me? Are you understanding that the ancients knew that religion is the oldest thing and it all came out of Africa? Isn't it a great thing to know that it all came out of Africa? And if that is truly the South where African Nubians came from, then we're talking about our history. It's nothing wrong with it, ladies and gentlemen, to see your image of yourself in your Christ, which is a black man. There's nothing wrong with it. And that is how you need to start thinking. Otherwise, you're thinking outside of yourself and you're idolatry worshiping because you have not seen your God in the image and likeness of yourself. Now, thank you so much for going through that little teaching. And I hope line up on line, precept on precept, you will get this. And eventually, not even just the African Americans, but the Caucasians, most of them know it's true. They can recite the story better than I can because some of them have been educated to the point to truly understand that these stories were written down and they have preceded Christ. These are stories that preceded the Jesus story. Not that we're taking your Jesus away from you. We're just giving you more in detail and in-depth information about the real name of Jesus and who he really was. And we all have learned now that because if you live in the climate where he lived, he must have been a black man with woolly hair and brass feet. He had to have been. It's no shame in us saying that we worship a black man. It's no shame in saying that Jesus was a black man. It's a true story. Like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, don't cringe when I say this. Just be able to go and research it for yourself. We like to thank you for sitting long enough to gain some knowledge, and we hopefully ask that you will learn more about your ancestors. And now we're getting ready to pay homage to our mother spirit, Yamanja, and we pour libations to Yamanja. Our yeye, we say Ashe. We pour libations to my Baba, and that is Obatala. I light a candle for Obatala and say, Obatala, may this light guide your way. I light a candle to Yamanja, the mother of the earth, and may this light guide you home. I pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say, Ashe. I call on the forces of Yamanja, Obatala, Shango, Alegba, Ishun. I call on the forces to be that the Igunguns and the spirit, which is our ancestors, that they may be present here, because all of the Igunguns, they are nothing but a spirit, and spirits cannot die. And we ask that they allow us to tap into their energies today, that we may be able to sulk with them, and that we may be able to ratify their potent energies and take it within our spirit, and that it empowers us so that we become enlightened with knowledge. And now the new knowledge has come on the scene. Help us, ancestors, to understand that we commune with you, and by communing with you, we're able to tap into your energies, and we are nothing but a frequency, a vibration. Help our vibrations to rise to the level of being able to lift dead spirits and open blind eyes and deaf ears that they may hear and see. Help us to understand that this vibration is so powerful that we can move mountains with it. Help us to understand that our very vibration allows us not only to be alive, but as we go into the grave, we still yet vibrate, so we cannot die. We are nothing but a frequency that will return to earth in the form of a newborn child, but we believe that we cannot die. Energy will never die. It will always return to us, and it will go back to the source which it came. We thank you, God, that you bless each and every one of our household. You are now prepared to give us the desires of our heart. Help us to be mindful of those who have less than we have. Help us to be able to extend ourselves to others who are less fortunate. Help us to understand that we are nothing but by the grace of God. And by the grace of God, there goes us in our shortcoming. But you saw fit, Father, to spare us and give us favor and give us abundance. And we know that we have what we say. So we speak our consciousness into being, and we speak our finances into being, that every one of us who are lacking finances are speaking their finances into being right now. And the abundance that you possess on this earth, Father, we're heirs of all of your inheritance. So therefore, we cannot sub anything. We only can become inheritors of your great fortune, which makes us fortune getters. And as we begin to start to living by your primordial faith and becoming conscious-minded men with good character and good conduct, then we are destined to acquire all of the goods that beset this earth. We are not poor, but only in our spirits. We only need to define what is ours and take it by force. The rich take it by force. That's why they stand in the gap with all of the finances. We must understand that we must take our fortune by force as well. And we must understand God has not given us a spirit of poorness, but of a sound mind. And therefore, we speak the things back to God and ask God to watch over his word to be perfect it. And we command God, we command him to help us line up with what the word of God says we are. We are the head and not the tail. We are the foundation. We are the cornerstone that was rejected, and now we become the foundation. Help us to get into our proper places so we know which and where we came from. Help us to know ourselves, and that is why this room has been created, so we can understand and know ourselves. And once you know yourselves and can govern yourself, there's no man that can come and destroy you, because you must first master thyself, then all other things will be a figment of your imagination to master. Let us master ourselves, and let us know our consciousness, let us know our history, and most of all, let us be able to fellowship with the true God, the God of Oladulamare, God of this earth, and we say thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go right over into the segment where we're listening to the short story coming from the short segment I told you about Lily Pad. And this is on relationship, reordering the marriage vow for the 20th century for the African American. Stay tuned. Enjoy. Courtship terminology was used so in the motherland. You know, a man once used to court a woman. He would come a-courting. He would come looking to find her, woo her, entice her, to make her laugh, to make her happy, to give her the desires of her heart. But we want to define courtship in a professional manner so that we now can begin to meet that prerequisite without jumping ship and going straight into the marriage and making a mess of relationships. We're studying smart now and not hard. We have over of experience and research behind us to draw from.
But what the Eurocentric world does not understand, that non-traditional ways have been done and used for a lifetime. And it is our mark. It is our mirror image that we have to draw from. And we must use it to our advantage. Not because it belongs to the African race, not because it belongs to the African American, because it has been successful for humanizing and socializing mankind. Courtship. When does it start? How does it start? And where does it start? And who do we involve in a courtship? Are there many? One, two, or three? Let's talk about it. Let's take a few deep breaths before we begin. Let's synchronize our vital signs. Breathe with me. Take a deep breath and breathe with me. We're letting emotions out. We are not stressful. Breathe with me once again. And breathe. And as you take these deep breaths, remember, courtship can be valuable. It is prerequisite for others to come. Let's create a scenario of a courtship. One might find an African male in Africa bringing gifts to the wife, potential wife-to-be, family, kawadawi, trinkets, valuables, monetary gains, as if he's buying this woman away from her family. But it's unfortunate. Here in the United States and overseas, these traditions are not practiced. But why? When they were so successful in the past. Someone tell me why. Why? Why were they not used now? Could it be because they thought that African was bush? Unprofessionalized? A little rough? Non-traditional? Well, let's go back and let's begin to look at what has worked and what has not. A nuptial agreement are good for some people. It offers them an exit out of a relationship. But first of all, we must understand that it must not only be physical attraction that draws us into a relationship. It must be a spiritual inner witness that draws us to the aura or the atmosphere of another human being. The energy of a person can be so very present. And let's study energy. And that is the first thing that would draw us into a courtship. Someone wanting to surround themselves with someone else's energy, who may be so soothing to the ear, so easy to live with, so practical, and yet so loving. Something that we thrive on and we yearn for and we desire, and we will do just about anything to have those energies present around us. Stop for a minute. Take your vital signs. I'll synchronize mine too. Let's breathe together now. Breathe with me. Taking deep breaths slowly. Breathe with me. You are examining the energies around you. Do you sense someone there that you are compatible with? But it's much easier for you to talk to. Does the energies seem to be attracting rather than repelling? Some often walk in and say, "Hey, baby, what's your zodiac sign?" "Well, I'm Aries. I'm a fire sign, and I'm really attracted to fire signs. You seem to be a Leo." Yes, we've heard those types of things before. "Well, I'm an Aries, and you're the opposite side of the zodiac sign. You're Libra. We would never get along, only in the flesh." Hold up. Let's stop here a minute. when the stars are born and the strategic zodiac sign, like, does attract like. It is no mistake. We are drawn to energies based on zodiac sign. But we must remember that there are 7 personality types, and we can possess all of those 7 personality types. So therefore, what am I saying? Can we be every woman or every man? I would like to think so. If we desire to be the best that we can in our relationships. 7 personalities, why, that person must be a monster. No, not so. Personality traits run the gamut of crossing over into being similar to the other. Personality traits have to be worked on also. And we often say, well, I don't get along with this energy. He and I would never make it. He is just too aggressive for me. Or she's too passive for me. Do you understand that when a spiritual attraction is there, that will supersede any other attraction? It's important to know this, because once we feel a yearning, a desire from within, and that person makes you light up, warm up, perform, function, live again, then we know it's something special. Those moments are not to be ignored. In spite of our financial situations, sometimes we have to think, is it always finance before romance? Can I fix this relationship? Never go into a relationship thinking you're going to fix anything. You cannot remake a person. Only help that person to discover their own attributes and to feel good about who they are. If you are coming to change a person, or redo someone, by adding a few more extensions here or there, a little bit more height to that man, a more keener nose, a more firm behind, then you need to stop. Take a reality check.
And that's what we're going to do, tell you to take a reality check and come back tomorrow telling us about what do you think you can add to a relationship. We're going to ask you to come back and bring those things back with you, because we have to understand that relationships require you accepting a person for what they are and not trying to change them. And we want to thank you for going on this super trip with To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. That was just a segment from one of the short stories. You will be able to read it in the book called Reordering the Marriage Vows for the African American for the 21st Century. And you definitely want to get the book, the talking audio book as well. Now, why don't you get your dancing shoes on so we can dance our way up out here? I reiterate, ladies and gentlemen, we'll still be looking for our Boaz. We haven't quite found the Boaz that we've been looking for. So during this segment, as we talk about relationship, we're going to talk about your Boaz. And women, you should be looking for that Boaz that comes from the Bible. And it's a description of a man that you think would fit your demeanor. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you drawn the man to you that fits your character? Usually, what's in you is what you draw to you. So don't be surprised what shows up, but just be ready for him. And if he is the Boaz, go ahead and embrace him and let him know that he's the man that you drew to you or the woman that you drew to you. Now, once and for all, we can write about relationships because we've all been in them and we've all had them. Write about your particular relationship and the unique circumstances that you've been centered around, and you'll enjoy that next journal that you write in. Go ahead and write. Pick up the pen and paper and write. Let's get back to this.